This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk. This month, we are remembering Martin Luther King's vision, and I have with me Dr. Claiborne Carson, the director of Stanford University's World House Project. Dr. Carson, what legacy did Martin Luther King leave us to carry forward?
Well, I think Martin Luther King left us with a question: where do we go from here? And that implies that people are prepared to provide answers to that question. And so I think we're trying to do that. We'll do our best to try to allow people to learn what is necessary to answer the question. Because I think if we don't answer it, King warns us that our options are chaos or community. And I would definitely want to move toward community rather than chaos. And I think that we have now some tools that we've learned from previous liberation movements about how to build the more positive option.
Your group has done a lot of research about the civil rights movement. What have you learned?
Well, I think learning from the past. I'm a historian, and I think that we can learn lessons from the past. And so much of what we describe as human history is really told by those who were the dominant groups. And we're only in the last few hundred years developing tools such as the novel, such as the narrative of slaves. All of these are various ways in which people who are gaining the skill to tell their own story, or who have been given that skill by people who want to tell their story for them, that we begin to see that there's another history, and that history is fascinating and it's inspiring. And it's something that we are continuing in the 21st century with the tools that we have available to make sure that history is told by everyone who's involved in making history. So I think that these are essential to answering his question: where do we go from here? Because it also redefines who we are, that we are part of humanity, and that's who we have to move forward with.
Thank you so much for developing tools that we can use to work together in peace as humanity. Go to World House Project on the stanford.edu website, or just search on Stanford World House Project. This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk.
All right, we have found our guests for SalesportTalk.com, which we do every Tuesday at this time at the 9:40 segment. Karen Lyle always co-hosts this segment with me. How are we doing, Karen?
I'm doing just great, thank you.
Let's go to our guest. It's Christina Rubke, who does all her sailing with her chin and is a past Commodore of the Bay Area Association of Disabled Sailors and took second place in the 2018 Para World Sailing Championships in Japan. Christina, welcome to the show. It's hard enough to sail as it is able-bodied. It's so impressive. When did you get started to know that you could do something like this?
I started sailing with BADS, the Bay Area Association of Disabled Sailors, back in, I think, 2007, so a while ago now.
So, Christina, it's great to talk to you again. We had a chance to sit next to each other at the adaptive sailing training that U.S. Sailing was doing with Betsy Allison. And I am just so impressed at your sailing abilities, because not only do you sail in a small boat, which I think you did with the parasailing, but also in a 30-foot sloop that you have adapted so that you can sail with your chin. How do you manage on the small boat that you did with the parasailing? You have just two people on the boat. Can you describe how that sailing experience happens?
Yeah, so with the regatta I just did in 2022, actually, so just a couple months ago in Japan, and a few of the other regattas I've done, I sailed by myself in a one-person boat called a Hansa Liberty. These boats are manufactured or designed in Australia by a company there, and they're specifically made for everyone to sail, including people with disabilities like mine that are pretty significant. So for me, I have no use of my arms and legs, and so I use a joystick that is connected to both the rudder and the sails of the boat. And so I can use the joystick to go up and down for pulling the sails in and out. And I have switches to connect both the jib and the mainsail so I can adjust them separately or together. And then left and right on the joystick is rudder control. And for any other kind of more technical adjustments like outhaul adjustments, I need somebody in between races to assist me with that from another boat because I can't do that myself.
Like any sailor, you can find yourself in a precarious or sometimes even a, unfortunately, perilous situation. What were some of the more dicey moments that you've had skippering a boat?
Well, I'm trying to think. thankfully not many. I tend to be a pretty conservative sailor. My sailing buddies always tease me, like, the minute there's any sort of wind, I'm like, we should reef. I think I do remember one time we were doing some racing out here just out of South Beach here in San Francisco, and another Liberty, that person lost their rudder control and so slammed into the bow of my boat, and it was pretty windy and we were both heeled over pretty well. So I think the way we hit the angle, his boat kind of, the bow of his boat went over the bow of my boat and like really pushed my boat down. So I basically, my mast went almost down against the water. So I thought I was going to, for a split second, I definitely thought I was going to die or at least go into the water. That did not happen. And then, so that was probably, I don't know, that was a near miss. And then more recently on the first of this year, I was not skippering, but I was a guest on a friend's boat and we ran aground. And because of the tidal predictions, we weren't sure that we were going to free up until the next morning at that point because it was, the next high wasn't coming for another 24 hours. And we were in a very shallow area. So my friend rigged a harness and lowered me, 10 feet off this boat into a rowboat and rowed me across to the shore. So that was exciting. But so things can happen, but generally I've stayed safe.
Well, I know I was talking to a captain in the BVI, and he made a comment about captains. He says, any captain who says that they have not been grounded is either lying or not a captain. So you've had the necessary experience, but you've been sailing for quite a while, and you also teach other people how to sail and how to assist you in their crew. Explain a little bit about how that works for you.
Yeah, so when I'm on a keel boat, sometimes I skipper, and a lot of times I'm helping crew out because we take a lot of people sailing who don't have experience with FADS. On the bigger boats, as you mentioned, Karen, I can do rudder control, but we don't have our boats rigged currently so that on the bigger boats I do sail. So I usually am telling people how to adjust sails. And that's all I do. I mean, I'll usually ask them to bring sails in and out. I'll tell them kind of when to hoist sails and things like that. That's pretty difficult on a keelboat anyway, where the person who's the skipper is not actually doing all the hands-on things. You're just asking people to do other things. And with that, they do also a little bit of teaching, but not anything official. I'm not accredited or anything.
Rick Tittle and Karen Lau with Christina Rupke. Christina, take us back. It's about 5 years ago now. The Para World Sailing Championships, where you did fantastically well, coming in second in Japan. Can you just give us a little mind's eye picture of what was that like?
Yeah, and that was actually just a few months ago. That was 2022.
Oh, it says 2018 here.
I was in a national championship in 2018, but in 2022 I was in Japan. So that was just a few months ago.
Okay. Give us a little flavor of that, please.
That was a wonderful experience. I had the opportunity to travel to Japan, which I had never been to Japan. me and one other person from our sailing club here, my friend Jim Tweet, we traveled there to compete. We were the only U.S. entries into that regatta. I sailed in the Liberty division, which was a very small division. That's probably why I did so well. But I had good competitors. I got very lucky. So we had a 9-person division in the open division, which included people without disabilities, and then the para division, which was the world championship. That was only 7 people. But it was great fun. Hiroshima Bay is beautiful if you haven't been. We had perfect sailing conditions. I think it was in the mid-70s and, light to moderate wind the whole time, which was perfect for me. It was a weighted class, so they weighted all the boats to make us equal, and I'm a relatively small person, so I had 94 pounds added to my boat to equalize me with our heavier competitors. it was a wonderful experience, and I was really pleased to do, pretty well. I hadn't really been racing since 2018, actually, so that was great.
Christina, what is it that you like the most about sailing? What are the features of sailing that really appeal to you?
I think just being outside and not being at a desk with a computer. My day job is very, I have a desk job. I type at a computer all day. So on the weekends and in the evenings or, depending on what's happening, it's really nice to get away from being indoors and tied to a computer. I think that's the thing I like. And I guess just being able to go to different beautiful places.
And then as a Commodore, what are your responsibilities there?
Well, I was Commodore. I'm not currently the Commodore, but it was just the Commodore is kind of the fancy title for president. Everyone always jokes, you should have a funny hat for Commodore. it's basically running the whole club, overseeing the operations. And Dad's is a volunteer-only club, so the Commodore does quite a bit in terms of making sure everything comes together and everything's operating. Right now I'm the racing program director, so I just oversee the racing program for Dad's.
Well, and I've been there to your club location, which was actually partnered with South Beach Yacht Club, and you have at the docks a lift, I've seen the lift operate for putting people into the boats, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and now when you are going to the small boat, are you sitting in a chair that it actually becomes attached to the boat?
Yeah. So everyone does it differently. The way I do it, I'm a bit smaller than, I'm a little bit petite. And I don't have trunk support or muscles in my trunk, so it's hard for me. I need support on the side. So I have my own sailing seat, which my dad made for me. My friends just made me a second one, so I can have one in the East Bay and in San Francisco. But I use that for all the sailing I do. So in the small boats and in the keel boats, I use the same sailing seat, and that's kind of just fit for me. It's a wooden seat that actually comes apart and folds into a suitcase, so when I travel to regattas, I can use it there. It's pretty cool. It's been really useful for me because it means I can go on any boat. So, Karen, I know you have a lot of boat hookups, so I can go on any beautiful boat you would like me to go on with you.
We just have about a minute.
Fantastic.
We just have about a minute left. What's it like being an inspiration to other people as well? I know you just want to sail, but sometimes you find yourself as a role model, right?
Well, I think it's good for people who think they may not be able to do a sport like sailing to know that, it's useful to say, well, I don't have use of my arms and legs and I can go sailing. So when somebody says, oh, well, I twisted my ankle, so I'm not going to go sailing this weekend, I can kind of, give them a good-natured little push in the right direction. They're like, oh, maybe you can go sailing anyway.
All right, there she is, Christina Rubke, an amazing story of perseverance and just a absolute love of sailing. Christina, thank you so much for being on SailSportTalk.com on Sports Byline.
Thanks so much. Bye.
And thank you so much, Christina.
And good to hear from you again, Karen, and we'll do it again next week. How about that?
We will indeed. Thank you, Rick.